think about the magic of ourself. Is the magic of ourself something very special, something very wonderful? Or is it something that is only a temporary thing that will be only lasting for as far as we can think about it? I am the magic of myself. I am able to think beautiful thoughts and work on beautiful projects however I wish. And when I don't work on these beautiful projects and don't think these beautiful thoughts, then the thoughts that I think are the thoughts that I have in my head. And sometimes I wonder why thoughts that are not beneficial to me come into my head. And the reason that thoughts that are not beneficial to me come into my head is because these are the thoughts that I allow to come. I am the master of every thought that comes into my head. I am the one who determines whatever the thoughts are going to be and how these thoughts are going to be. I'm the only one who determines it. And I'm the only one who makes the decision as to whether these thoughts are going to be really something exciting or whether these thoughts are going to be just ordinary and unimportant. For instance, I can think a thought about myself being a success in my world. Now that's a good thought to think, of course. But when I think of these thoughts of myself being a success in my world, do I really think of these thoughts in a beneficial way for me? Or do I think of them as something that it can never be? That maybe I'd like to have them be, but they can never be. Probably I think of these thoughts in a way that they can never be, because that's exactly what my thought is for myself. That is what my idea is for myself. My idea is myself that I only think that these thoughts can be important for me if I give them power. If I give them the idea that they can work for me and they can be harmonious for me. But when I start thinking these thoughts, and I start thinking of them from another point of view, when I think of them as merely ideas that I put into motion, then these thoughts become something very significant. They become something very powerful and very wonderful in my life. But they cannot become powerful and wonderful unless I give them continual attention, give them continual awareness, give them continual realization that they are exciting and that they are wonderful for me. Thoughts that I can think that are wonderful for me are thoughts that are going to bless my life and bless my world and bless everything that I'm working with. Now, the way that I get these thoughts that I bless myself with are by taking a notebook, perhaps, taking a sheet of paper and writing down on that sheet of paper what I really believe about myself, what I would like to do. I look around me and I see other people who are wonderful and who are powerful and who are thoughtful and who are loving, who are a delight for themselves and for everyone in their world. And I look at the things about them and I say, well, now, they're thoughtful people. They give understanding and they give love to others and they don't expect anything back. Ah, now maybe there is a clue not to expect something back. When you give out love without expecting anything back, then the love is just out. You don't have to say, now I'm giving you love if you give love back to me. I'm giving you a hat if you give a gift back to me. The very fact that we want to get something back means that we're not giving freely, we're not giving openly, we're not giving joyously. And of course, when we don't give openly, freely and joyously, we don't have the response that we want. Now, it's a new attitude for most of us to give without expecting something back. We give presents at our birthdays for the family because we know the family is going to give us presents for our birthday. And if we don't give them a present on their birthday, we cannot expect to get a present back on our birthday. Well, that's motivational planning that we've been taught from childhood on. And because we've been taught that, if circumstances come about that we don't get a gift back from someone to give it to, then we feel very badly about that person. we put negative vibrations on that person, and all of a sudden we're arguing with them and we're unhappy with them and we're creating them in our world as a very negative experience. And there had been no negative experience up to the point where we expected a return for our gift. To train ourselves to give without expecting anything back, just to give because it's a joy to give, to go and share with people who have no possibility of giving something back, to go out into the world and just shine out with all the love that we have in our heart, just shine out with all the peace and the joy and the goodness. And as we do that, we find, hey, life is fantastic. Life is joyous. It's kind of fun to give to someone who cannot give back. Children are taught to do this when other children want to come and play with their toys. And the children are taught, hey, what toy would you like to play with? Oh, my best toy. Well, all right, go ahead. Enjoy that. Freely give that toy to the child. And then when it's time to be done playing, say, did you like that toy? Yeah. Well, you can take it home. What? I can take that toy home? I didn't give you anything. Hey, that's okay. You gave me a lot of friendship. You gave me a lot of love. You gave me a lot of joy. That's good. That's good. The little boy goes home with the toy, shows it to his mother, and mother says, where'd you get that? Oh, Johnny gave that to me because he knew I liked it. Well, now you can't do that. You can't take something just because someone says you like it. Well, Johnny said I could. So the mother comes over and talks to Johnny's mother. And Johnny's mother says, well, the things belong to Johnny. He has a right to keep them or to give them away as he wishes. But he's not getting anything back. No, this is what we teach Johnny. You always give without expecting anything in return, because then the gift is freely given. Then the gift doesn't have any strings attached. Then the magic of yourself can shine through, and all of the wonderful features of who you are and who you think you are and who you'd like to be begin to manifest in your life. Oh, I don't know, that's something new to me, says the mother of the other child. And Johnny's mother says, well, I've been teaching Johnny this, and Johnny's life is filled with abundance. Johnny's uncles bring him toys. Johnny's father brings him toys. Johnny's world just brings him lovely things because he doesn't hold on to things. He doesn't say that they're mine, mine, mine. No one else can play with them. No one else can touch it. Don't you touch my toys. He shares them freely because he knows that they're God's toys, and everything is God's. And so he shares this wonderfully. Oh boy, that's a new idea, says the other child's mother. That's a new thought. And then she goes home and she tries to implement that with her child. And it doesn't work. Because she's trying to start right from the top level of the freely giving, the non-possessive, the open heart, the joyous being, the magic. And she hasn't put a foundation under the magic. And so it falls down. Not because it's bad, but because they haven't learned how to give. They haven't learned how to receive. They haven't learned how to share. They haven't learned how to love. And all these things, this learning how to love, this learning how to give, this learning how to share, are so fantastic. They're so marvelous because it opens up our being to health. Because we give out thoughts of health and we experience health. We give out thoughts of a body that is whole and perfect. Every cell, every organ, every action does its perfect thing. Now, why should God give us the gift of a perfect body? Because we are receptive to that. We are open to that. And so we in turn give that openness that we are to all our world. And because we are whole and perfect, because we live in our beautiful body, we look at other people and see them living in their beautiful bodies. And we see them living in their beautiful attitude toward themselves. And we set the magic into motion in everyone's life around us. Not because we're trying to be better than someone else or trying to teach someone else, but we're a living example of what we believe. And we believe in wholeness. We believe in right action. We believe in peace. We believe in abundance. We believe in everything that is good and beautiful. As Mr. Harriet says, all creatures, great and small. We believe in all ideas, great and small, all ideals, however they come to our attention. And so, as we teach this to our children, we are learning it ourselves. And we begin to apply this in the people that we meet. And so our neighbor comes over and the neighbor says, can I borrow a cup of sugar? And you say, well, I bought an extra bag. Would you like the extra bag? Here, take it along. Oh, no, no, I just need a cup. No, you'll have it for later. That way you can have it for your cereal. You can have it for whatever you want. Ah, gee, that's wonderful. Next time I go to the store, I'll get a bag for you. Hey, that's okay. That's okay. I give you this freely out of my heart because, hey, enjoy the sugar. And the neighbor lady goes home and she thinks to herself, that lady's cuckoo. Giving me a bag of sugar that she went to the store and bought and not asking me to return it, not asking me to do anything about it, not even pay her for it. My goodness sakes. And the next week, the neighbor lady's at the store and she sees some wonderful things there. And she says, oh boy, they're having a sale on flour. I'm going to buy a couple of sacks. I'm going to buy a sack for my neighbor too. Well, how do you know that your neighbor wants flour? The lady says to herself, doesn't matter. I'm giving it because I want to give it. And so she comes home from her shopping and she takes her wonderful gift of the flour that she bought in a sale. And then she takes a bag of it and she takes it over to her neighbor and says, here, what's this? Well, I was at a sale. And I saw all these bags of flour at a wonderful reduced price. And I thought, hey, I'm going to buy more myself. I'm going to take one for you. Well, thank you so much. That was very thoughtful of you. And the neighbor receives the bag of flour, but it's not the kind of flour she likes to use. It's a totally different brand that she's familiar with and that she enjoys. And she likes to stick to the one she enjoys. So another neighbor comes along. And she's visiting, and the neighbor says, boy, I was going to bake a cake, but I was a little short of flour, and I didn't want to run out to the store. Well, here's a bag for you. Take this along. My goodness sakes. And then the neighbor lady takes the flour, and she makes a cake, and she brings an extra cake back, and she says, thank you so much. I just wanted to share this with you. And, of course, the lady doesn't eat sweets, and she doesn't like cake, because it just isn't in her diet. But she says, thank you very much. And she takes the cake and takes it over to another friend. And she says, here's a cake. I know how much you enjoy cake. Well, why are you bringing me this cake? I didn't do anything for you. Hey, you're my friend. And I like to share with my friend. Whenever I have anything good in my life, whenever I have anything wonderful and beautiful that comes my way, I like to share it. Because sharing is such fun. Well, my goodness, you are just such a wonderful neighbor. Everybody in the neighborhood is talking about you. What a wonderful neighbor you are, and how thoughtful you are, and how considerate you are. You are just such a wonderful neighbor. And the neighbor bows her head and says, thank you, and walks out the door. She doesn't say, you are too, because that's not accepting the gift. So she accepts the gift and says, thank you very much. And in humility, walks out the door and goes about her days. And the opportunity comes for her to see yet another neighbor. And the yet another neighbor is having all sorts of difficulties. She's having difficulties with her children. They're not paying attention. She's having difficulty with her husband, who she thinks is no longer interested in her. She has difficulty with her job, which is a part-time job that she thought would give her so much feeling of fulfillment, but it's not working out that way. And she's having difficulties here and there. And you come along and you say, Mildred, I am always so proud to see how you live your life. Your children are always nicely dressed, always a credit to you and your husband. And your husband, he is such a caring, gentle person. You know, it takes a special wife to appreciate a husband who is so gentle and caring. You can't always tell. You can't always tell. He's one of these men who doesn't show it on the surface, but in his heart, you know, he bubbles over. When you see the light in his eyes when he looks at you, when you see the joy in his heart when he comes home and he says, "Sweetheart, I'm home." Yeah, I always thought when he said, "Sweetheart, I'm home," he wants his supper right away and he wants this. No, he wants you. That's what my husband does. When he comes home, he says, "Sweetheart, I'm home." I rush into his arms and he hugs me and holds me so tenderly tight that I feel like I'd never like to leave. Oh. And the neighbor thinks, "Oh, oh, oh." That night when her husband comes home and says his regular, "Sweetheart, I'm home," she dashes into his arms and gently knelts in his caress. And he says, "Oh, I knew it. You're the most wonderful wife in the whole world." And all her thoughts about her husband not caring about the marriage anymore, her children not behaving like she'd like, she begins to see them beautiful. She begins to see them through the magic of her eyes, the magic of sharing and giving. And she begins to understand just how wonderful they are and how wonderful she is. But it doesn't come just because you want to make it come. It comes when you are able to give unconditionally, expecting nothing in return. Just give, because it's a joy to give. This is something we train ourselves to do. This is something we train ourselves to think about. We walk our spiritual path and we say, "I am above all this. I am beyond all this. I am supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I am wonderful." And the minute we start having those sort of thoughts in our mind where we are superior to other people and we're better, then all of a sudden problems start coming our way. Because with superiority and with the feeling that we are better than other people, we close the channel of love. If we see everyone else beautiful and fabulous, not superior to us for sure, just beautiful and fabulous, and ourselves beautiful and fabulous, we seem to open a very magical door in our heart that just does not know how to stop giving. It does not know how to stop sharing. It doesn't have to share things all the time. Things are all right too. But it shares our heart. It shares our love. It shares our feeling of oneness with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. A feeling of oneness with our nation, with our world. A feeling of oneness with our universe. And this feeling of oneness has another word to it. And that word is appreciation. When we go around and say, "I love this world, it's a wonderful world to be in," we're showing appreciation for it. When we say to our husband or wife or children or friends or what have you, "You're wonderful. Thank you for being such a delight in my life. You make me so happy. Every time I think of you, every time I talk to you, you sort of lift another burden from my heart that I didn't even know was there. You make me feel so good about myself. You're wonderful." Now, just the act of our being aware of these things and appreciating these, not overly so, but just appreciating these things, allows us to give more and give more and give more. There is no end to the givingness of our divine self. There is no end to the givingness of the purity of our being. There is no end to the possibilities of just how beautiful we are. Give of yourself without thought of return. Give of yourself in an openness, in a grandness, in a joy that knows no bounds. Give of yourself in the magical way that only you can do, that only you can share, that only you can put into the hearts of your children, of your husband or wife, of your parents, of the people in your world, of your neighbors. Only you can do it. Because all your world is waiting to hear from you just how wonderful you are. And you say how wonderful you are by seeing how wonderful they are. For when you look in the mirror, it reflects back who you are. And if indeed you are wonderful, then your neighbors, each one, no matter what, is wonderful too. Your spouse is wonderful too. Your children are wonderful too. Everything is wonderful. You go into your children's teachers at school, and you'll talk to them, and the children's teacher will say, you know, your child's got a few little problems. And you say to the teacher, I am so happy that you recognize them and that you see through those problems and guide my child to release the problems and be how fantastic they are. You are such a wonderful teacher. I'm so happy my child has you as their teacher, teaching them to love, to give of themselves, to be the genius that they are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And before the astounded teacher can think anything different at all, you go away and you talk to your children's other teachers, sharing with them this equal appreciation that you have of your child's magnificence, recognizing he's got little problems he's working out. That's part of going to school. Going to school is to teach yourself that you know what you thought you didn't know. And so the children go to school to teach themselves manners and good habits and good ways of dealing with one another. Not only reading, writing, and arithmetic, those are normal things too, but it's the social graces, the social caringness, the social love, the social givingness. And when you delight in your children's teachers by going to them and telling them how wonderful they are and how proud you are of the way they're teaching your children are going to get an extra boost. Because that teacher is going to say, this parent really appreciates what I do. This parent really appreciates me for me. This parent really recognizes my genius, my wonderful qualities, my magnificence as a teacher. Oh, I love that parent. Oh, that parent is so wonderful, you know. And you didn't spend a penny. You didn't lie. You didn't prevaricate. You didn't tell something that was maybe half-truth. But you saw the magnificence of the teacher. The magnificence of the teacher as a teacher is a blessing to your children. Is a blessing to your child, a blessing to your world. And every time you saw that teacher as a blessing, your child gained the blessing in more ways than one. We have the opportunity of setting free the magic of ourself. I am the magic of myself. Me, I'm the magic. My words, my thoughts, my ideas, my attitudes, my actions. No matter what, I'm the magic. And I'm the magic of me as I think beautiful thoughts about me. I can commend and compliment others in beautiful ways, but I can commend and compliment myself too. a loving, gentle way, not a supercilious way, but a gentle, loving way. And to myself, yes, I can walk out into the woods and through the hills and shout my heart out and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I'm wonderful, I'm good, that's fine. But we can't very well do that as we're going through the shopping mall with hundreds of people around us. I like me, I like me. They'll say, well, what's got into that person? But when we say it in our heart, I like me, and we have it be our word that is our guidepost for everything we do, then we will never do anything which would make us say, I don't like me. We would always do things that would say, I like me. We would always be things that say, I like me. We would always walk the path of I like me. And as we walk that path, and as we go that way, the door of peace and harmony and goodness open before us, beautifully, powerfully, joyfully. Remember, you're the magician in your life. You're the wonderful magician like King Arthur had. And as that magician, you can do wonderful things. And as science today presents to us all the things that Merlin did, with this puff of little powder, the fire becomes bright and he disappears. With all sorts of other little things that science has created today, we can do those little things. But what we cannot do, we cannot let science create for us the wisdom that we are. That's a magic that we alone dispense, that we alone share, that we alone give out. The magic of wisdom. And wisdom, again, is not superior over others. Wisdom is following your heart to its normal and perfect result. Wisdom is knowing what to say at the right time, in the right way, for the right purpose, for the right result. Wisdom is ours to use. Wisdom guides our magic into the circles of most beneficial results. Wisdom guides us as we talk to our children's teachers. Wisdom guides us as we share with our neighbors and friends. Wisdom guides us as we melt into the arms of our wife or our husband or our children. Wisdom opens the door of our inner heart to a magnificence that we never knew was there. Not because we want something, not because we need something, not because the world would be a little better because we did the things we do, but our world expresses itself in that way. And as our world expresses itself in that way, we are the magic. We are the magician. We are the cause. We are the effect. We are the allness, and nothing else matters. I am the magic of myself. I am the magic of myself. I am the magic of myself.